what's happened to the American dream? For the majority of people, it's not what it's cracked up to be. The American dream has kind of disappeared as the wealth gap widens, with more than 70% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck.
And for those that do realize that comfortable middle-class lifestyle, it may come at a cost. It certainly did for our next guest. Kevin Howard enlisted in the Army, then achieved the American dream, but it went downhill fast after that. And he has a background in banking and economics and has written the book Onward at Last, and joins us now to talk about whether there can be an American dream that's accessible for everyone. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
It is a pleasure to be here with you, April and Marty.
Simply put, is there an American dream and is it accessible?
Well, unfortunately, the American dream feels more like the American nightmare for the majority of Americans today. So is it accessible? Sure, but it's not accessible with how we function in today's toxic society. Mm. I mean, the fundamental problem is the core American virtues that have defined our lives, independence, freedom, self-interest, and competition, have been pushed to the extremes. And it's produced a society where we don't trust our own government, we don't trust our media, we don't trust scholarship, science, experts, we don't trust each other. And in the process, we have forgotten who we are.
Kevin, trying to achieve the American dream caused you to have a stroke. Take us back a little ways. Tell us your story.
Well, exactly. And it was a story of you know, I mean, I was raised by a single mom in the Bronx, New York, you know, served my country 4 years active duty in the military, came out, served in FEMA for the Northridge earthquake natural disaster in 94. So I lived a life of service and then built a successful career in banking. And so here I was, you know, approaching the age of 40. And, you know, I had all the trappings of the American dream, beautiful house, beautiful family, kids, money in the bank. And yet I was on the path to a stroke. I felt empty. I felt totally unfulfilled and I did not understand how. Right. And so it sent me on this journey to figure out why is it, if I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, everything that society measures as success, how am I so unfulfilled? And I discovered something. Every success, every component of my life that I had built comes at the expense of someone else trying to do the same thing on behalf of their families. And so I realized, oh my, I guess the joy we feel from winning, right, you know, is undermined by the fact that it always comes at someone's expense, right? And so it just that just sent me down this path of really looking in the mirror and seeing what is it about how I'm participating in our society that leaves me in a position where I neither enjoy the journey nor the destination. And that's why I wrote Onward and Out at Last.
Kevin, do you think people conflate financial success with actual happiness, and that's part of the problem? For example, you served in the Army, and I know you had a higher purpose, and then you're in FEMA. And a lot of times people that have that higher purpose, regardless of their income or what they're making, they feel that sense of service and feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. Do you think in a sense that when people think that they see, oh, a certain amount of affluency, they think they've made it, and they realize people like you on the inside are miserable because you don't have necessarily a higher purpose in the process?
Well, I think that's absolutely true, but that's exactly what we are encouraged to do. I mean, the ultimate core of the American dream is to work hard to secure sufficient resources to yourself so that you can live a life independent of everyone else, live a life where you can totally reclaim your time. But in order to do that, you are competing against everyone else who's doing the same thing. And for every step you move closer to your success, it comes at the expense of everyone else who's trying to do the same thing. So therefore, the price is severe, but we don't think about it, but we still feel it, right? And that's what I felt. I mean, contemplate how each of you earned your positions in, you know, here on the radio. How many people did you have to defeat to get to this slot, right? And all those people were trying to do what you do, which is basically take care of themselves and their family, right? This is how the system is set up. And this is why the best we get out of success born out of so much failure, so much defeating, so much degradation is just temporary moments of satisfaction. And then we fall back into the grind. And so, you know, my book, Onward at Last, is a clarion call to my fellow Americans that it's time for us to step back from the toxic society that this level of competition is producing and look in the mirror and ask yourself some basic questions. How is it that I am surviving today? Okay? And let's go down that path for a moment. So who produces the food that I'm going to eat today? Who produces the clothes that I'm going to wear today? When I think of all the things I need to survive today, right, would I survive long if I had to rely just on the goods and services produced by my family and friends? See, once you go down that path, you start to realize that we are not built to be independent. We literally are designed to be interdependent. And yet we are encouraged because of our core virtues of freedom and independence and competition and self-interest to compete vigorously against the hands that feed us, that serve us, that support us every day.
Yeah, very divisive, yeah. It sounds like. Yeah, I think a lot of people think to have haves in society, you have to have have-nots. Are other countries doing it better? And if so, who are they and what are they doing?
Well, I mean, my focus, because this is my country, this is where I was born, this is the culture that defined my life, is here. Certainly there are variances around the world of people doing it differently. There's no question about it, right? And we did it extremely well. If you look at the first 30 years after World War II, it was the Pax Americana. We produced the greatest middle class in recorded history. Our Congress and the Supreme Court passed legendary legislation and had legendary cases to extend equality like never before. And then things start changing in the 70s. And progressively, the notion of how we exercise our freedom, how we exercise our independence, has been pushed to the extreme. In 1987, the famous movie Wall Street, Gordon Gekko declared, greed is good. And the economics that came thereafter is hollowing out the middle class, is exacerbating the working poor, and is creating a billionaire class that's totally detached from the rest of the country. And this is not serving us. This is not even sustainable. We have to get back to who we are. And so I hope people will read the book and look squarely in the mirror and take ownership of how they participate in creating the toxic society we are in, because they can do something about it, but it starts with each one of us.
Kevin, would you say that American values are wrong, or would you say they're misshapen or out of kilter? How would you describe that? Because many people would say, well, what are you talking about? That's life. That's a capitalistic society. Book or no book, that's America, and that makes America unique in that sense. What would your response be to them?
Those virtues are just out of kilter. Again, most things we experience in life work as designed when they operate within a reasonable range. And as soon as you push out of that reasonable range, they don't operate as designed, right? So let's take our need for oxygen. If you have too much oxygen, you suffer from the bends and you die. If you don't have enough oxygen, you asphyxiate and you die. Well, you know, freedom is the same way. Independence is the same way. Competition is the same way, right? Take a look at how we responded to COVID-19. Okay, so COVID-19 hit Asia first. Then it hit Europe. Then it hit the United States. The United States is the wealthiest country in the world with the best medical resources in the world. How is it that we have 4% of the globe's population and 22% of the globe's deaths? Well, the reason why is because the way we practice our independence today is that we'd rather debate over our rights to wear a mask or not, while the vulnerable amongst us are dying. Over 200,000 deaths. We just recognized the 19th anniversary of 9/11, where 4,000 Americans died. 200,000 Americans died to COVID-19, and most of them didn't have to if we only took care of the most vulnerable amongst us. But that's where we are, and this is not sustainable.
Kevin, give us one thing we can do right now to make a change in how we live our everyday, and then we've got to wrap up with you.
Absolutely. understand the wisdom. Remember, because we already know this. We know we exist every day. We know we survive every day. Look at the wisdom of why and how you survive every day. Because once you realize that, you will it will change your value structure. And once that changes, you will make different choices. And then finally, we can organize and create a society that serves all of us, because this one is serving almost none of us.
The name of the book is Onward at Last, the author, Kevin Howard. Kevin, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.